So am I still waiting? Waiting a long time.
Waiting for tonight.
Listen to review, man.
Here, give it a good shot.
Okay. Yeah. Excuse me. Can I talk to you for a minute? My name's Andrew. What's your name?
Alex.
Don't worry. There's a big cement wall between you. He's
not
gonna.
No.
That's it. That's my favorite color. Yeah. You know, I want to take you out for dinner tonight.
I already ate. I'm sorry.
Where did he eat?
Where did we eat? Gretzky's.
You know, I like Wayne Gretzky. He's a good hockey player. Yeah. So, I can take you out for dinner tomorrow.
It's okay, I don't live around here.
How about tonight? Harvey's after the game.
No,
or Dairy Queen.
It's okay.
And a blizzard. Because you like, I think you like ice cream. Can I have sex with you after the event tonight?
Not.
I will use a condom.
I think I'll be fulfilled by him.
Woo! Thanks, Alex. Hey, we're the A and A. We're the A team.
Come bitch on ears, say it out loud! Low budget TV, that's bitchin'. Oh, that's your eyes and ears. We're Matt and Jake, the conventioneers.
Welcome to Review Away. It's John Pollock and Wei Ting with you from the Review Away studios. Big show coming your way. We are going to be chatting two editions of the conventioneers, now known as Con Crashers TV. And joining us is a Conventioners alumni, Wei Ting.
Alumni? How do you define that?
Someone who was part of the franchise, part of the show.
I was, but not in a grand way, you know, in a relatively, I don't know.
You were a big part.
Infrequent way.
One of the keys.
I shot a few episodes and I edited a few episodes. That was really it. But I mean,
the most modest person I've ever met.
No, I mean, that's the truth.
There were a few people burning in a building. I ran in. I just took them out. That's it.
Please.
You've got something new to share with us.
What?
You have bought new shoes, I noticed.
Oh.
Are these new?
Yeah, these are new.
These ones that you've never worn.
I've had these for a while that I've never worn them. Well, thank you for bringing that up.
New shoes are always a big transition. I hate getting new shoes.
Okay. You do, eh?
Yeah, it's a big process.
I do notice right now in the ankles, they're kind of stiff.
Yeah, that's going to happen with anything because it's going like go up to your ankle, so they're going to be a little awkward. Then you're used to like running shoes.
Yes, I am. But I mean, I like
these. These are Wei Ting getting ready to go out to a club shoes.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I don't know if I'd be allowed in the club with these even.
We went to on Friday night. We went to a Tattoo Rock Parlor in Toronto.
Why didn't you tell me this on Monday? Why are you telling me like Friday?
I forgot on Monday. We were too busy discussing the Curtis Axel latest travesty.
Okay.
But on Friday night it was 90s night at Tattoo, and the DJ there, John Celebri, my favorite DJ in the world.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He was like, "The law's in the house." And then he was like, "This song goes out to John Pollock."
Oh, man.
And this is what he played. Mbop.
Wow.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Is that your song?
I don't know. I guess it is now. Hanson. I enjoyed this song. It's very catchy.
Wow.
Back in 97. Come on.
You're right.
It was like the stupidest name of a song ever, but it was so stupid that it was catchy.
Yeah, it was awesome. I remember just always being confused because I thought, like, that keyboardist was like a hot chick. And no, it turned out.
Boy, were you disappointed.
It's a dude, yeah.
Yeah. Three brothers. What are they up to now?
Living off their fame.
I guess so.
Yeah.
That song was a huge hit. That was like, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
16 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Long, long time ago. So, in closing, should go to 90s night at Tattoo Rock Parlor. It's a lot of fun. You should come next time with Gordon.
I'd love to.
Yep. We went with Braden.
Yeah?
Our operator.
Oh, you mean Braden from Convention
Ears? Braden from Convention Ears as well. He does appear on one of these shows.
Yeah.
Do you did you shoot either of these episodes?
No, I shot neither. I edited the UFC one.
That's right. That's right. All right.
Full disclosure.
Full disclosure. Later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Jason Agnew via Skype. He is going to launch upon us and let us know about whether Con Crashes is going to live or die.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They are doing an Indiegogo account right now to raise $20,000 to shoot 6 new episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So that is currently in the process, and thus we're having Mr. Agnew on to chat about that. And then we're going to chat the episodes.
Okay.
So this is going to be a different review. We're reviewing...
Oh, we're going to talk to Jay first.
No. We'll review it first.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, I was just confused because you said you're going to talk to Jay and then we're going to review.
Oh, no. My tone of voice was meant to say later on.
Oh, let's move on. I think we wasted enough time.
Okay. Well, there you go. We've really only wasted like 4 minutes of time.
That's a lot of time.
Well, which one do you want to chat about first? Do we want to go in chronological order?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start then with the Raw episode. This was from May of 2008, a show where I remember... I believe you were shooting, me and Moro doing... No, it was just me. You and me went and we did some little piece on how young the WWE audience is getting because all these kids were there.
Yeah.
And this was technically a couple of months before the WWE officially became PG programming. It was like August 2008 that they turned into PG programming. But I remember going to this Raw, and it was the first Raw in a little bit, at the Air Canada Centre, and just looking around... How many kids were at this thing? It was incredible.
Yeah, you and I were actually shooting a proper news story for the Fight Network. And yeah, we realized while we were there, like we didn't really have much of a story going on.
I think we just went and we'll be like, well, we'll kind of figure out the story once we got there. And the story was, look at all these kids that are at Raw.
Yeah.
It's like such a younger fan base than just a couple of years ago where it was a much more, edgier product, and I guess it's still
a more adolescent audience.
Yeah, you weren't really seeing as many young kids at these live events. I mean, it was really this transformation and really the impact that, you know, your John Cena's, Rey Mysterio's, Randy Orton's were having of kind of getting a younger audience, which is typically how wrestling will kind of evolve. You know, younger kids will get into it, and then by the time they're late teenagers... Fuck this shit. I'm moving on to the UFC. So this is a great show to kind of encapsulate that whole turnover.
Mm-hmm. So we did that, but at the same time, we were noticing our friends, Jason Agnew, Matt Shin, and Rick Thompson, they were off in the distance nearby shooting their own TV program, The Conventioneers, which we are watching and talking about.
Right yes. Now. So why don't you explain, Wei, kind of the concept of The Conventioneers as someone that has... seen the magic behind the show, so to speak. You've been one of those magicians. What is The Conventioneers to someone downloading this with no clue of what this show is?
The Conventioneers is Jason Agnew, Matt Shin's program. They basically go to various conventions and expos all around the world. And they just basically go in there and they interview the people in there. Often... making fun of the people that are there, and it's been on more than one occasion where I've followed the Conventioneers and have been kicked out of various places because they realize. I mean, I think a lot of times they get in because, you're press, you want to cover our show, great, welcome, please come in, and then all of a sudden, like they start to do these like comedy. Like, they start making fun of all the people that are there, and they start, like, doing shit like Jay often gets naked for whatever reason on the show, and they get kicked out. And often those are the best episodes.
What are some of the conventions that you were a part of that they were actually kicked out of?
Well, the first one I remember was there's this thing in Toronto called the Chin Picnic. It's like there's a
tailor made for this show.
There's a radio station called Chin Radio. It's like an ethnic radio station, and they're having like a large event in Toronto. And so there are signs everywhere that were saying Chin Picnic. Meanwhile, one of the hosts' name is Matt Chin. So their whole idea was they're gonna get a bunch of signs, like a large sign with the word Matt on them, and they were going to go around everywhere to plaster these mat signs right above the chin signs. So it'd be like the Matt Chin Picnic.
Very clever.
And they did this everywhere, including the main stage where, like, I don't know, like 300 people were watching this woman perform some type of a cultural dance. Matt just casually walks up to the stage and with his Matt sign and just puts his Matt Chin Picnic sign up there. And
the shot is actually in the opening of the conventioners.
Yeah, yeah. And quickly following that, he was escorted up by security. And that became sort of a problem that particular day because, like, I don't think that there was enough show that we actually shot before getting kicked out of there. So, like, Jay had a backup and we ended up going to some Rib Fest and doing the rest of the show at a Rib Fest to fill up 22 minutes of content.
Oh, so the lesson learned is that do the big stunts at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of off the top.
Absolutely.
A very wise decision made there.
So that's sort of, you know, the whole show. They go to these conventions and they annoy the shit out of people.
Have amassed a big popularity amongst these different niche audiences.
Oh, my God.
Some of whom go to these conventions just so that they can be on this show and get made fun of.
I'll definitely say, like, these two are, like, massive celebrities, especially in the cosplay, like, the anime convention crowd, because they, you know, especially there's this convention called Anime North in Toronto, and I just even remember watching the show as a fan at one point, and the first year, I think, they got in and, like, man, it was just such a scene. Like, security was all around. The second year, they would actually go back, and they weren't allowed, of course. So what they did was, instead of doing the show inside the convention, they figured out that you could stand on the sidewalk, and that would be fine. As long as you're not on the actual property of the convention center, you're fine to do anything. They can't do anything. In fact, they got permits to be able to shoot on the sidewalk. And so it was just such a ruckus, you know, because security would be, like, on one side.
Weren't the OPP called, I think, for one of these?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I know the cops have been involved in a number of these. I will say this, that Jay has, like, he is able to forecast problems very, very well to the point that, like, going out of his way to get permits, and it's like every potential disaster is at least covered.
He's a very good producer, and I don't think a lot of people realize just how small of an operation, like, this show is. You know, the reason why, you know, they have to do things today, like these fundraiser things, is because it's such a small operation. Like, Jay's a producer. He writes. Matt's also one of the writers, and he also edits. He edited most of these shows. And so it's such a small operation, and they basically do everything themselves.
Yeah, and it's a huge undertaking. You watch, like, one of these shows, and you don't think of all the pre-production has to go into this. It's like, you're not just coming up with this shit, like, just on the fly and stuff like that, and planning out a whole show, structuring it. I mean, we can ask Jay. I don't know what the exact episode count is, but it was, like, massive, the run they got out of this while they were on Byte Television.
So in this particular episode, two of Jay's worlds kind of collided because, you know, he's got this whole TV comedy side, but then he's always been involved with the law and pro wrestling, and I guess he just saw this as an opportunity to mix the two worlds.
Yes, and all of these shows would usually start off with some sketch off the top, and this one involved Jay legitimately moving out of his old house and thus had an empty house and shot this sketch in involving a panda bear and losing his virginity. Just an utterly creepy segment.
Yeah. Are you going to describe the segment?
Well, why don't you share it with
us? I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do it.
Jay implied that he lost his virginity to his pet panda bear, a stuffed toy. This was just disgusting. Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to do it.
If I didn't know Jay, I was extremely creeped out by this guy.
Yeah, for sure.
We have to review this as impartial way. You're like, this fucking guy is scary.
Yeah, this, like, kind of like,
the way,
you know,
he's talking to the bear and the shot, like the high angle shot of his face looking down at this panda as the camera's, like, narrowing in on its ass. It's just, like, weird.
What a disgusting, scary human being.
Yeah. Didn't really get the connection to wrestling, but somehow this led into a whole wrestling episode.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess the Panda Bear actually has a big crossover, because it was the Panda Bears that really caused the WWF to have to switch to the WWE. I'm sure that's an intention. And he feels that, much like he fucked the pandas fucked the WWF out of their own name, and thus he lost his virginity as the WWF lost its initials. That must have been the parallel.
Obviously.
Clearly, in hindsight. So we're at Monday Night Raw in Toronto, May of 2008, and basically the setup of the show here is that Agnew is the wrestling fan, and Matt hates wrestling, and this was how it would play out as they went on to chat with many, many fans.
I feel like this would, you know, usually be the case with them at different conventions. Like, Jay would be the overly enthusiastic one, and Matt would play kind of like, you know, the one who's too cool and too above everything.
The first guy up kind of set the standard here for some of the interview subjects.
Yeah.
With this dude who looks like he had just woken up, wearing a fanny pack that Matt spoke to, and he just goes on into this long diatribe about how Orton isn't going to live because Hunter is going to kill him.
I don't know much about wrestling. What do you know about wrestling?
I can tell that Orton's going to be destroyed when he goes to the next pay-per-view because Triple H ain't going to let him live. And I like what Matt Hardy did at Backlash when he beat MVP and said, went in the back and he said in the camera, "I guess I'm better than you, MVP.
Did you just wake up?
No, yeah, kind of.
You got his bedhead going.
Kind of.
Just going on and on and on.
It was great.
Rambling. Random, rambling wrestling fan.
It was great because you got to just see how ridiculous some of this pro wrestling stuff is through the lens of somebody who's completely not a fan at all. Like, what? Like, Randy Orton? Like, this is stupid.
We had a lot of replica titles. We met, we saw a Newfie SmackDown involving Matt and this older woman, and they started wrestling on the cement floor.
Yeah.
The concrete floor.
Yeah.
It's quite the spectacle.
I just don't know how good, yeah. Sorry, Jay. I don't know how good this review is going to be. I think we're going to. It's going to be one we're kind of struggling through.
Well,
we're not used to reviewing these shows.
Well, what were some of the highlights of this show for you? We got to see a couple cameos in this show for longtime fans of The Law. Not only Brayden, we had Ken from Scarborough appear on this show.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Ken from Scarborough was here doing a promo. I feel like you know, the whole show is basically them. Kind of pointing out how ridiculous some of these wrestling fans are. And you know what? Anytime you get fans that are passionate about anything, they can appear quite ridiculous to an outsider. And it was a lot of fun for me to watch, just because I know these people. You know, I know people exactly like these. I'm probably a person that's just like these people, too.
I feel if I didn't know these two, I would hate these two guys.
Of course, yeah.
I would hate them coming into this generally happy folks just going to a wrestling show and shitting on their good time.
Yeah, but you like it, though, when you're seeing them make fun of people that aren't like yourself.
Well, maybe I am like some of these people. Maybe I, too, don't always...
See, I never understood that. To me, it's like, you're right. Like, these people are pretty outrageous in their own way.
Should we chat about the highlight of this entire
show?
Yeah,
let's just get to that.
Andrew,
yes.
This guy was amazing.
Yeah. This is like...
This guy used to be a regular at O'Grady's when we used to do the Monday night shows.
Oh, for real.
So I had met this guy prior to that. Whoa. And this is not a gimmick. This is Andrew.
Yeah, this was like some type of gold mine that they found. And so, okay, so the segment...
This is winning the lottery for this show.
The segment basically starts off... So Matt meets this, like, you know, overweight fan in a baseball cap, and he starts talking to him about, so you're wearing, like, a baseball hat. Are you a wrestling fan, or are you here for the Jays game? Because there's also a Jays game going on in town that day. And he's like, "Oh, I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm here for the Jays." And then Matt's like, "Oh, okay, so, yeah, you wouldn't be one of these wrestling loser fans, right?" And he's like, Oh yeah, I am a wrestling fan.
Right then, you knew this was going to get really good. And then he started discussing his love for Michelle McCool.
Well, okay, we got to set these up, John, because I don't think we're doing these segments justice.
Well, everyone who's listening to this, they should have watched the episodes.
All right, fine. But in case you haven't, the Conventioneers, they have a logo. And it's a logo that's basically a ripoff of, Christian's shirt?
Yes.
The C in the circle?
Yes.
Like, they straight up ripped it off. And I think Jay will tell you that. Straight up. So, I mean, don't sue them or anything. Yeah, you can't sue them anyway now.
I think there's a podcast out there that has also taken this logo.
Oh, yes, you're right. So, two people have. Never mind. They got the logo on the mic flash. And so this guy, Andrew, is like, C, what does that stand for? Matt straight up says, cunt. It stands for cunt. And then this guy, like...
Andrew doesn't question this.
Like, this guy is just like, I want some of Michelle McCool's cunt. Like, he just says this. And
suddenly, it's at that moment that you realize Andrew has clearly initiated that anything that happens here, he has opted into this unspoken working relationship with Matt Chin for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't think anyone should feel bad for Andrew because he clearly wanted to be a part of this. And
no, of course not. No, he was like having just as much fun as anybody. So then like Matt starts to steer the conversation towards like the last time Andrew had sex. And obviously like, you know.
What do you mean obviously?
Well, sorry, but... Likely, it's been a while, if maybe a lifetime.
You're finding so many people here.
Well, anyway, so then, like, they start talking to girls. Like, Matt tries to get this guy to pick up girls.
This was great.
And this was the show, like, taken up to a whole new other level, because at this point...
This could have been the whole show.
This guy, Andrew, takes Matt's microphone and, like... starts approaching random girls, and it was the greatest thing ever.
You say random girls. He was approaching mothers.
Yeah.
He approached first this Asian girl who was, like, just...
horrified.
Horrified would be probably the best word. Like, she was clutching her mouth, like, what is going on
And what is he saying? He's saying, like, oh, excuse me, I like your...
nice bag.
I like your jacket. I like the color of it. I like the color of your jacket.
Oh, it was a big strikeout with the Asian lady. He then moved over to this woman who appeared to be single but was taking her two children to Raw. And Andrew proceeded to ask her out to go to Subway after. Andrew had quite the options for some of these ladies. He went to another one.
No, hold on. In between that, like Matt's like, how about that one right there? And Andrew takes a look. She's ugly.
Beggars shouldn't be choosers.
Oh, man.
So, my favorite one was he goes up to this woman, Alex, and asks her out for dinner and offers to take her to either Harvey's or Dairy Queen. Now, I will say this. Like, listen, lots of these shows, Way, you know that a lot of them are pre-planned and you go in with bullet points, you go in with ideas. Andrew was doing this cold. I can tell you 1,000%. Yeah. Andrew was not. He was not in on this. He was not, you know, scheduled to be there. He was honest to God, a random fan that Matt found. And Andrew, like right down way to, like the way he just would. He would ask his question and then back and forth with the mic.
Yeah.
Like this guy was a goddamn pro. I have seen interns that like. Could never have pulled this off. I mean, he was good with his questions. He was funny. This guy was great.
Yeah. And I know, like, Jay's been has tried many times to try to get in touch with him. Actually, he would sometimes call into the law on occasion.
Yeah, he did call into the law a bunch
of
times.
But for some reason, it just never worked out. So maybe if a new show gets off the ground, perhaps we could see a return of Andrew.
This girl, Alex.
Oh, God.
Flat out at the end of thing.
Wait. So first he's like, can I take you to Harvey's? Can I take you to Dairy Queen? And she's like, no. The next question. Can I have sex with you after the show?
I'll use a condom.
Oh, my God. This and, was... like, no doubt it was, like, mad coaching him, telling him what to say. But just the fact that, you know, the editing was such that this question just came out of nowhere. Oh, my God. It was so good.
And the last woman he finds is Melissa, also a mother, who is married. And she actually does agree for him to pay for Red Lobster later on. She walks off to take a phone call as he just looks into the camera and calls himself Captain Charisma.
Yeah.
Andrew, the high point of this show, in my opinion.
He was great.
And it was about a year ago, Way. We were downtown on King Street late on a Friday night. And all of a sudden, as we're passing by this bus stop, hey, it's Jason Agnew. And it's Andrew bus stop randomly on King Street. And we said hello to Andrew.
I would love to see a return. He should have the whole $20,000. Just pay him.
We should have tried to track down Andrew to come on this show.
Oh, God.
In hindsight.
We should have.
And then the final bit we go... Actually, we had a...
There's a quiz here.
We had a quiz
where... This is where the world... is introduced to one Braden Harrington.
Braden Harrington, our current operator on the law, complete with his WWF replica title. You know what I really enjoyed about Braden here?
What?
Was his absolute, you know, he just was proud of everything. Matt was like, how much did you pay for this? And, you know, Braden's like, a lot. Do you regret it? No, I actually think this was a really good purchase.
Yeah, and like... for people that don't really know Braden, like, I don't know anybody with a larger collection of pro wrestling shirts than Braden. Every time I see him, he's wearing a completely different one. He's wearing, like, the Y2J1 right here.
Yes.
And he's got the spinner belt, too, doesn't he?
I'm not sure. I would venture to guess he does.
Yeah.
But Braden, he also took part in the spelling bee, where... fans had to spell the word intercontinental. Mm-hmm. Braden, unfortunately, spelt it IT and was instantly eliminated.
No.
It was a tough word for a lot of
fans. That's why he does radio.
Other trivia questions include... This was a really cleverly worded one. The British Bulldog, what continent is he from? And just person after person saying the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty well done. And we also got a math question. Where if Raw tickets are going for $80 and you want to take four of your friends, how much would it cost? And many of them saying $320, 80 times four, not including oneself, which would push it to $400. And then we also got Braden and Matt's interaction here, where Braden somehow got roped into piggybacking Matt. And just carrying him around as Matt talked to random people on Braden's back.
Yeah, and, like, you almost forget that because these interviews between Matt and the people are so entertaining, you forget that he's on Braden's back.
It is.
Riding him.
And Braden was actually a very big Conventioneers fan, so I think he was in his glory here getting to... He could say, I carried Matt Chin during an edition of the Conventioneers.
That's the thing. Like, the whole thing about, Matt has kind of grown... to the point where, like, people want to be insulted by him. Like, I would go to these anime conventions, and they're like, can you make fun of me? Can you make fun of me on camera?
It's like Antonio Inoki. These guys, they want to be slapped by him.
Sure, yeah.
It's a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Matt Chin, Antonio Inoki.
Well, same thing. Yeah.
And then we had Matt going to a bunch of random women, the highlight being this woman who's on her phone... And you've never heard a more pretentious wrestling fan than this woman.
Is this your boyfriend?
No, it's not. Are you some sort of anti-wrestling fan or something?
No, I just have no idea what wrestling's about. I'm here to figure it out.
Well, this is the Vegas version of wrestling, you understand. This is not for real wrestling fans. This is for people who appreciate a show and a spectacle. This is my little taste of Vegas right here in Toronto.
Well, I'm just saying you're extremely attractive, and you don't really see a lot of attractive girls around here.
See, I find it odd that you decide that because you're a fan of sports, you can't be good. Looking, or
I can appreciate it. I was beat up by Lance Storm. You know Lance Storm?
I don't.
Okay, we should say, like, she's an attractive girl.
Sure.
Which is unusual.
But then she says that this event, this WWE event, this is like the Las Vegas version of wrestling. It's not for real wrestling fans. And then gets...
So you would assume that she'd be like an independent wrestling
I assumed
fan.
Indie worker. Because
you assumed worker? I mean, I didn't. You didn't look that.
Well, at the very least, indie wrestling fan.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And Matt then goes on to say, well, I've trained with Lance Storm. Have you heard of Lance Storm? No, she has not. How have you not heard of Lance Storm? Yeah, and you're going to throw out a statement like that, that you are all high and mighty above this WWE filth, this Las Vegas version of pro wrestling.
You would have slapped.
What a lame analogy.
You would have slapped this
woman. Oh, I would not have slapped this woman, but I would have just gone off here. I would have then just gone, I would have been such an asshole to her. I would have thrown out more references. Have you heard of Hulk Hogan? You know who Hulk Hogan is?
How dare you?
Well, Jason, then, where did he go from here? Oh, these were the promos.
Yeah.
We then went into the promos. The highlight being Ken from Scarborough, who any Law fan is familiar with.
Yeah.
Constant amongst the Law bank of callers dating back years and years and years.
And as usual, Ken here, just on command, gives a great promo about being in Toronto, about Toronto.
Let's listen to it.
You see, Mr. Agnew, look where we are. We are in Toronto, one of the grand meccas of wrestling, where the fans are legendary. Who you think came up with two? It wasn't Montreal. It was Toronto. Who you thought brought Hulkamania back? It was not Montreal. It was Toronto. Who does most of the WWE blame for their woes? Maybe Calgary, but definitely Toronto. Because they know if they mess with Toronto, they will not be able to come in this town again. But tonight, I will be cheering for a man who is great. A man who is destined for greatness. A man who already has a subway station named after him, Mr. Canada!
I know.
Canada!
Ken from Scarborough, the walk-off promo.
Yeah.
Back, this is so long ago, it's back when Mr. Kennedy was in the WWE.
Yeah, yeah. Good delivery. Very good.
Very good. Yeah. Very good outing by Ken from Scarborough. So, a nice kind of sample size of the WWE audience. We saw males, females, heavy people, skinny people.
Where are you going with this?
I'm just saying we had quite the cross-section of people that we got to see in these 22 minutes.
All right.
Yep. So what did you think of this episode?
I really like this episode. Obviously, like the highlight being this man, Andrew, it has stuck with me for ever since I saw it, and I think it will stick with anybody who's seen it. To me, this guy is way more legendary than the, what is it? It's real to me, damn it, guy.
I'm with you. I thought Andrew was the best part of this show.
Yeah.
He was so incredible. And I would love to see this guy do, like,
fuck,
more of these kind of segments.
Yeah, please.
A great addition here to the Conventioners crew. And then we fast forward almost a year to the weekend of UFC 129, the very first UFC in Toronto at Rogers Center. And you know what I was thinking about the other day, Wei, by the way? Do you realize that of the current UFC champions, you were there when Anderson Silva won his title?
Yep.
You were there when George St. Pierre won his welterweight. You were there when he won both welterweight titles, were you not?
No. I was there when he lost the first one, and then I was there
when he won it back.
Yeah.
You,
I mean, I wasn't. When you say that I'm there,
you were in the physical arena.
I was in
the
arena.
Title.
I wasn't watching the fights at all. I was like, I was in the back, like, you know, in the back somewhere.
So you were there.
I didn't even get to see it.
And you were there when Demetrius Johnson won the flyweight title in Toronto last fall.
So what's the big deal?
You have been there for some of the current title reigns that have begun.
Well, I'm very blessed. What can I say?
And you might be in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks when Chris Weidman faces Anderson Silva and his title reign could end.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you want to go?
Sorry, where's that?
Vegas.
When?
The first weekend of July.
First weekend of July.
Are you available?
I'd love to see that fight. I just don't know if I have the time, the vacation time, or the funds, but...
Okay, we'll figure this out.
Yeah, we'll do it off air.
All right, we were talking about it off the air on the weekend.
Okay.
But I said I had to ask Wei to figure it out.
Well, then I appreciate you asking me on air.
Well, I just kind of put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Anyway, this took place during UFC 129 weekend.
Yeah.
A very crazy weekend.
The biggest, I mean, the first show in Toronto after years of MMA being prohibited in our city. It was finally made legal, and the UFC was going to bring it back or bring it here for the first time in a big way. Their biggest show of all time to this day, selling out a stadium. Rather than, arena, hockey arena.
I actually hated this weekend.
Oh, this was a lot of work for you and I.
No, it wasn't, actually. It was the exact opposite. It was zero work for me.
Yeah.
Because this was still at a time when we were not credentialed by the UFC. And I remember so many people.
Actually, we were credentialed for this.
That's right. It was the first event, but we had what? Like three credentials or something like that. So we had one reporter that was sent, and it was John Ramdeen. So I had nothing to do at all that weekend, and I was so depressed that finally the UFC comes here. I'm not even at the show.
Yeah, it was before
I'm watching it on pay-per-view.
Before the MMA report.
Yeah, it was before the MMA report. Yeah. I really hated this weekend. I looked at it as very annoyed. But thankfully...
Do you want to talk a bit more about it?
That's it. That was it. It was just, it was really, really depressing to not be able, I didn't even want to go to the show. I wanted to cover the show. I was like, this is part of my job. I want to be covering this. And I'm at home just sitting here watching this show.
You were basically on Superstars.
No, because Superstars involves doing something. I was fucking at home watching Raw on TV. I was a healthy scratch for hockey terms.
Hmm.
That's what I was doing. But you were at this event.
Yeah, I was.
Do you remember it well?
I do.
It was an okay show. Randy Couture's retirement.
Obviously, Hominick fight.
Yeah, that was the highlight. Hominick and Aldo.
Still stands out to me.
But that weekend, as many know, the UFC, they run their fan expos. And for their first show in Toronto, they were going to do a big fan expo over the course of that weekend at the, where was that? The Ricoh Coliseum?
No, it was the Direct Energy.
Direct Energy building.
Building, I think.
Yeah. So it was in there, and the conventioneers got credentialed to go to the Fan Expo.
Uh-huh.
And you were not a part of this either.
No, I was not, because we were shooting stuff for ourselves. So right. No, I was not. But I did see them.
So now, the opening here, Wei, I don't want to take too much credit, but I think that our birthday video had a bit of an inspiration here for the opening video here with Jason Agnew, Matt Chin, which we blatantly stole from the UFC.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, some of you have seen these circulate on the internet, but, like, John and I, when we used to have, like, we still do. We do, like, our birthdays are very close to each other, so we, like, have joint birthday parties. And, like, one year, we just decided, hey, rather than, you know, a typical Facebook invite, why don't we make a video? Why don't we, like, you know, just take a week to just shoot, like, a UFC-style video, just instead of a regular invite. And we did that one year, and, like, it just really caught on. Like, everybody just loved it.
I still get people today that comment on it.
Yeah, you can find it at youtube.com/way0937, which is my YouTube channel. But so we did that one year, and then all of a sudden, like honestly, like, the whole thing was like, okay, well, it's the two of us, and it's a fight theme, because that's kind of what we're known for. So then all of a sudden, like, it turned into a... It made people expect a drinking contest out of it, even though, like, that wasn't really our intent at all. But yeah, we got into a drinking contest as a result. And then we did it the second year again. And Jay was involved. I think he really liked the videos. And so when it came time for him to do this UFC episode, he had an idea to do, like, a UFC-style promo video with an opening. And he asked me to cut it with him and Matt. And that's what you see here.
Oh, so you edited this video?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. The same person cut both videos.
Yeah.
There you go. It was a very good opening. I mean, kind of spoofing all of those openings, which the UFC still does today. Very easy to spoof those. I mean, they're kind of ripe for parody.
Yeah. There was one scene where, like, it was about, like, Matt makes fun of Jay getting naked and showing off his gut. And so I just remember, like... I mean, I feel like I know Jay's body better than most people because I've had to, like, fucking stare at his, like, close-ups of his, like, gut and his, like, crotch and his ass, like, so many times while, you know, editing this stuff and, like, making it slow-mo.
You're a professional.
So, yeah, it's a tough job, man, especially when you're editing the convention years, yeah.
Well, you're a true pro, Wei. You earn every bit of respect that comes your way.
Yep.
So they start off at the expo, and the way they like each episode starts off, I mean, they're together and then they kind of go their separate ways, and kind of it's kind of an overarching theme. They go and they're tied together, but they're two very different approaches to the show, usually a pro and con, so to speak, of the event they're at. I mean, Jay, the big UFC fan, Matt, playing the role of the con.
Yeah, especially when it comes to these. I mean, I would say, like, often I don't think either one is much of a fan of, like, the places that they go to. Like, the boating show? I don't think I
clearly you don't know Matt Chin too well.
Oh, he's a big boater?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. But, yeah, in these particular episodes, obviously Jay is a fight and wrestling fan. Matt is the guy who could care less.
The first two fans we meet are Jay speaking with Megan and Tori. And Megan was a huge George St. Pierre fan who continually noted that he is the most balanced fighter.
The most balanced fighter?
She said this twice. And I was like, what does this mean? Like, he doesn't fall over or that his life is in such a good structure?
He makes sure he eats a bit of every food group.
Yes. We met these three idiot fans who were big fans of Anderson Silva, and, like, I don't know what they were doing, but they were just trying to yell, like, the stereotypical... I think they were trying to play this role of, like, these idiots, and they accomplished it.
They're just fans that yell really loud, and I've seen this guy around, like, a lot. He's, like, a local, and he always carries this sign around, and I think he just gets, like, people to just sign this one sign.
We also met Chris from Nova Scotia, a guy who spent $50 for tickets and then roomed with six other guys in a condo. Maybe the cheapest trip from Nova Scotia for a UFC event ever.
$50, yeah, this guy was cheap.
Great. We played a game of Spot the Douche with Matt.
Yep.
Very clever game.
Yeah, you ever play that?
It's not exactly Where's Waldo level of difficulty at a UFC Fan Expo.
No, there are a lot of douchebags.
I do like how... As MMA has continued to grow, so has at least the culture. I feel the T-shirt fad is still prevalent, but nowhere near its peak of a couple of years ago where everyone wore those goddamn shirts and with diamonds and shit on them. And
yeah.
I hate it.
I still see people kind of wear those, but yeah.
They're much less, though they still exist. You still get those some people with those fucking jeans with, like, weird embedded shit on them.
Yeah. The thing that I mean, aside from, like, you know, looking really ugly, the thing that always got to me was, like, the cost of these things. Because I knew people that would collect them. And they would, like, pay, like, upwards of $50 for one of these, like, stupid shirts. I don't know if I'd pay that much for any shirt. Much less, like, an ugly one.
They're not even that great material. I mean, they're so thin. Like,
well, I think that's the point. They're, like, lightweight. But I don't know. They were a real big at the time. And I think, like, I knew it from the beginning, though. Like, we're going to look back 10 years from now and be like...
I think we can look back now and be
we can.
What the fuck are people wearing right now?
Like, the same way, you know, like, we look back at the 80s and think about, like, what is it? The big shoulder pads.
Yeah,
and think, like, what the fuck were people thinking? Like, people are going to look back at the 2000s and think, what were we thinking with Affliction shirts?
Was there, like, some strategy behind the shoulder pads? Like, did they have some practicality to them? Were people, like, big knapsack carriers?
No, I imagine they just made you look kind of bigger.
But it was so obviously artificial padding. Like, it's... doesn't make you look big. Cool. It looks like you got fucking, like, you're ready to play football or something.
Yeah, maybe that was a look. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's a lot of that in Dallas.
For the shoulder 80s. Pads.
Oh, yeah. A lot of big shoulder pads. A lot of big hair.
You could you and I could both probably benefit from some bigger shoulder pads.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. Yeah. Jay met fan Gary, who was no Andrew. But
no.
He tried to fight Jay with... Wei, I mean, you the advanced jiu-jitsu practitioner. I mean, how would you grade this rear naked choke? I feel weird even calling it that. This was like
it was pretty bad.
A throat grab.
Well, he was a smaller guy, but still, you know, he didn't really
get on his shoulders, put your hooks in, and
didn't get his hooks in. I would try to. He should have tried to bump the opponent to the ground first.
Yeah, very poor form from Gary.
He starts to name like. Jay prompts him to name all the fighters he knows. So he's like...
he gets like five deep and that's it.
He's like, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre, Forrest Griffin, King Faskhead, Blockbuster. Blockbuster.
Blockbuster. Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah.
I guess he meant Brock Lesnar?
Yeah.
Very similar. Blockbuster.
I'm sure like he's got some mental illness though, this guy. That's the thing about like the show. I feel like they're often talking to people that have some type of mental illness, but I don't know. I think maybe we choose to be ignorant of that.
Well, I don't know what to say to that. I mean, you can't tell, really.
No, you can't tell. Some people are just like kind of dim. We all have some mental illness of some sort.
Absolutely. Jay met Izzy and Jessica from the Bombshell Girls.
Yeah, two models.
Yep. They were there just on hand to
show off.
It seems
bodies.
Like every fight company, when they go to one of these, they have girls. Girls to just
of course.
Stand around in little clothing and hand stuff out.
Yeah.
Seems so primitive. Okay, get some half-naked chicks to hand out flyers. It's like, really, that's where our worlds have progressed.
Seems to work.
I guess, yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's just odd. I find...
It's not odd at all.
I find a lot of these things are also like social experiments, just to sit back and watch people in the wild, so to speak.
So what would you respond to? If I were to start a t-shirt company and I wanted somebody to hand out flyers, what should I hire?
I just feel that, you know, you should have enough confidence.
Dave Meltzer?
Maybe.
I should get Dave Meltzer to hand out flyers?
Some solid credibility.
Okay. Well, these people weren't here to talk. They obviously weren't here for...
Oh, clearly. The guy from Head Rush sure wasn't there to talk.
I meant the girls, too, because, I mean, the brunette was, like, you know, pretty smart, but, like, the darker-haired one, what a complete bimbo.
I really enjoyed the Head Rush guy that Matt spoke to. He said, "What is Head Rush?" And the guy says, "Well, it's you know, it's a lifestyle brand." The amount of times I've heard that fucking term, "It's a lifestyle brand," like my head explodes when I hear that. I already hate my brand.
Lifestyle.
Well, I hate... We're a lifestyle brand. I just... gross to me.
We're the Law Lifestyle.
The Law is a lifestyle brand. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. It's a fucking radio show. Anyway, I just think sometimes it's like, oh, we got to sound more sophisticated than we really are. We sell fucking shirts with heads on them that are severed with chains. That's what we do. We're trying to capitalize on a big boom that is fighting, and hopefully we can attach something that says fighting, and we're going to dress it up and get some more sponsors so that eventually we can flip this company and someone bigger can buy this, eat it up, and I can make off with six figures, cover my losses, and have a nice little tidy profit, and then start another one of these lifestyle brands and do the same thing. Do you know how many of these I've dealt with over the last 8 years?
Yeah.
Everybody. We're about to change the business. No, you're not. You're about to go out of business. Anyway. What else was here? We had the MMA or gay quiz. Kind of an easy way to go in MMA, I guess.
Yeah. And there were questions like, you know, Jay would list, you know, for instance, BJJ.
Yes. That would be MMA.
BJ Penn.
See, that was an easy one. Like, what? How is that? How do you not decipher that as...
So it's just the answer.
Well, that would be MMA.
BJ.
That would be MMA. His best one was Rubber Guard.
Yeah.
Because they said MMA, he pulled out a condom.
I might have taken credit for that one. He was... Jay had asked for some suggestions.
Oh! Well, Rubber Guard was, I thought, the best one.
But at the same time, I don't know how many people even know what that is, like, outside of you know, you and I.
We met Jessica the Grappler. The DEFCON paintball girl. Ooh, this was so awkward.
Yeah, well, Jay, like, part of his shtick is to turn into a total perv around these girls.
Well, mission accomplished. I was weirded out by this. She was so uncomfortable.
She looked very comfortable.
She did not look comfortable.
She looked fine.
She was really trying to change the subject and get it back to paintball.
Well, for those of you that are such big fans of Jason Agnew's phone calls on the law, you could see another side of him, a more loving side of him.
Well, he wanted to show multiple sides of himself here with this woman. And then we had Matt doing a segment called Words Versus Violence. Ended with him taking a guillotine. So violence won. And the highlight of the show was Jay going around getting impressions, mainly of Bruce Buffer, and it culminates with Jay finding Bruce Buffer, and Bruce Buffer does his own voice.
Yeah.
This was great. Yeah. A nice little cameo. And I like the fact that they didn't even, key him as Bruce Buffer. It was just,
yeah,
you better know who this is.
Oh, yeah.
This was great.
I think
a great end to the show. You couldn't top this.
Well, they really lucked out, because there weren't even fighters, walking around the floor. It was just all of a sudden they were shooting and then, oh, shit, there's Bruce Buffer. And I'm doing a segment on Bruce Buffer. So.
Yeah, Bruce Buffer actually just released his book. And he talks about the fact that a week before this event, he rolled his ankle as he was walking through a casino. So his ankle was bothering him. And then the next night at UFC 129, he did his Buffer 360 and tore his ACL.
Wow.
And he was really fucked up.
Well, you can't just pull out that 360 all the time, man.
Yeah, so.
You got to train up for that.
That's the foreword of his book, talking about that major injury at UFC 129.
Wow.
So this was just a day before.
That 360 has kind of grown a cult following of its own.
Bruce Buffer has grown into a cult following.
Yeah, he has. He for the longest time, he was in the shadow of his older brother.
Yeah, there's a whole new audience of fight fans that it's Bruce Buffer is
the
guy. Yep. To the point that I really wonder, when Bruce Buffer is done, I think that's going to be a weird transition to a new...
Absolutely.
I think you almost have to go the more subtle, Jimmy Lennon route, because anyone trying to match the energy of Bruce Buffer, I think will be a horrible failure. I think it'd be so hard to... just a random guy comes in and is jumping up and down.
Yeah, the tone of his voice is just really synonymous with the W...
Gets you so excited for a fight.
Yeah, he's very good.
So there you go.
Except when he's announcing the winners of...
Jim Miller, Pat Healy.
Yeah.
A rare flub from Mr. Buffer. So there you go. Those are our two episodes of The Conventioneers that hopefully you checked out and gives you a kind of a sample of the shows. And at this point, we are going to welcome on the co-host of The Conventioneers and The Law, Jason Agnew, joining Review Away. We are joined now on the line by somebody that, me and Wei hold in very, very high esteem. He is the one and only Jason Agnew. You may have heard of him from Live Audio Wrestling. How are you doing today, Mr. Agnew?
I'm fine. Thank you guys for having me on the program. Much appreciated.
Well, we have just finished chatting for about a good 45 minutes about you. Yeah, we've chatted about you hitting on women.
Yep.
Wei has discussed... seeing you very close up during some very long editing sessions.
That does happen. That's Wei has seen a lot of me.
He has seen more than most have seen of you.
Yep.
But you do let a lot of it out on The Conventioneers. And I wanted to start off just for those listeners that maybe just watch these episodes for the first time, kind of just tell us how you and Matt kind of came up with this concept and where it started.
It actually started, Matt was working as an intern for Byte Television in 2005. So I think he was about 3 years old at the time. He was 18. He had been fresh out of Centennial College. And he was doing a show, kind of a Tom Green-inspired show out of his garage called My Show with Matt Chin. I was the head producer and the on-air talent at Byte Television. And I was at the Everything to Do a Sex show in Toronto in November 2005. And Matt was reporting for Byte, and Matt was there doing his little show. Same type of thing. So we bumped into one another, and he was my intern at the time. And I said, hey, man, you know what? You're on the station now. I'm on the station. Why don't we do a bit together? I was actually there with my co-host, Nicole Karkik, who's now on the web. Weather Network in Canada. And this segment started as a promotional bit for the Everything to Do with Sex show. And within about 30 seconds, Matt and I just started insulting Nicole. And it just got out of hand. And from that, I was like, there's a certain, you know, camaraderie and chemistry between the two of us. So I went back to my boss like the next day and said, you know, what if myself and Matt went out to conventions on the weekend and just kind of talked to people and did funny little bits? And he looked at me and said, you mean the intern kid who never talks? And I'm like, yeah, because Matt's personality is completely quiet. And I don't know if Wei has talked about that in regards to how Matt is when he's on camera versus off camera. Have you mentioned that, Wei?
No, not yet.
Okay,
no.
So he is like the quietest guy off camera. And on camera, he's nuts, as you've seen in some of the episodes. If you've, you know, obviously, if you're listening to this review, you've watched a couple episodes. But my boss was really open to the idea, and we gave it a try in 2006 at the Motorcycle Super Show, and then continued to do 102 episodes over the next 7 years.
Wow, we were wondering how many episodes you guys have done in total, but wow, 100. Well, you guys seem to, you know, for most of the episodes, kind of have your own characters. And so can you just talk a little about how when you guys stumbled upon, you know, kind of your character as sort of the womanizer, the one who's usually more enthused, and Matt as, you know, the guy who's just there to really just be mean to people?
Yeah, the characters came pretty organically just in regards to the comedic styles that we were already doing. You know, if you look at the characters when we're actually in the convention hall, I'm the babyface and he's the heel, and never is that more evident than we go to a fan expo or an Anime North, where Matt's jokes will go immediately right for the jugular. It's like, walks up to someone and goes, hey, your costume sucks and you're ugly. We're all go and have a little bit more of a fun time with them. And yeah, I mean, my character is a natural extension of myself, but really, you know, ramped up in regards to the fact, especially with, you know, the hitting on attractive women, it's hit on them until they reject me. And that's where the funny comes from in regards to that. And a lot of the time I also kind of bring my game show elements into the show as well, doing little quizzes that are thematic to the actual show. And you actually saw two of them in the two episodes that you reviewed, the one about, you know, wrestling fans and disproving stereotypes and doing the math and, you know, spell intercontinental and stuff like that. And then in the MMA or gay in the UFC expo as well.
Now, as we were reviewing both of these episodes, perhaps the high point of either episode was one of the great finds probably in conventioneers history, and that would be Andrew, who was actually a semi-regular when we were still hosting O'Grady's Wei back on College Street. But Andrew just, to me, stole the show in the wrestling episode.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt just happened to bump into him, and he was doing that bit, and I didn't realize what was going on. The funny thing about the Monday Night Raw episode, obviously, you know, we're the conventioneers. It wasn't a convention, but I really wanted to do a wrestling episode. And at that point, we didn't have the budget to go do a fan access at WrestleMania or anything like that. And also getting in there would have been a problem for us because we've been banned from many, many conventions. So with that episode, I thought Matt had a tremendous episode for the Monday Night Raw one, whereas I walked in to do that show, and every 5 minutes was stopped by a listener from Live Audio Wrestling. And it was very, very difficult to kind of hold that fine line of, I want to make fun of these people, but along with that, I don't really want to alienate the audience that listens to me every Sunday, because already, at that point, that would have been 2008, I wasn't quite as quick with trigger finger in regards to how quickly I hang up on people now. So I didn't quite want to offend people as much, especially in person, because I do genuinely like talking to wrestling fans. So it was a bit more of a difficult episode to do. But Matt found amazing characters, from the woman that he wrestled in the first bit to meeting Andrew, who, yeah, used to call into Live Audio Wrestling all the time and did show up at O'Grady's. The guy's just nuts. And I thought he was a natural character, and Matt found him. He did the bit. We then contacted him. We got his phone number and tried to do more episodes with him and make him a semi-regular on the Conventioneers, but he just didn't seem interested.
Oh, so no chance of getting him perhaps for Con Crashers.
I don't even know how to find Andrew. Apparently he's part of DX now or something like that, as per the last time he called in and told us that on the law.
Yeah. Something that always interests me about, you know, your show is how you manage to get these people to sign off their releases, to have their images be displayed on the shows themselves. So talk a little about that process and any difficulties you might, you know, encounter.
Well, I think we have two different stages of the show that you've reviewed and watched. In 2008, that was very early on doing the Monday Night Raw episode, and we basically went up and asked people after their interview if we were okay to use the footage, and that's all the green light we got at that point. Now, by the UFC episode, we were a real show. We were much more efficient with what we were doing, and we would always ask people to sign release forms after their interview. Now, of course, there's editing afterwards and stuff like that, and yeah, we kind of tore some people up, but it was not this thing where, hey, we'll ask you beforehand, and then we're going to do this interview and really kind of screw you over in the interview. It was afterwards. And, you know, some people have a great sense of humor about it. And then there's others that, you know, just do not want to sign and do not want to be on camera. And that's fine. We've lost some great bits because of that. But, you know, I don't want to get sued.
What would you say, you know, when you look at some of the conventions, is there a certain area of conventions that really your show has lent itself to? And conversely, are there some conventions that just the dynamic of you two didn't really just gel with the audience?
Well, there's really two styles of convention that have really worked well for the show. Number one is, of course, Fan Expo, Comic-Con, Anime North. The show is basically, it's such a low-budget show, as you guys can see, and it never tried to disguise itself as anything else but that. And Anime North is this anime convention that is here in Toronto. And we went in there in 2006, and Matt did this scene where he beat up a kid, but it was completely fake, and we put sound effects on top of it, and then just got this tremendous uproar with people thinking that it was legitimately him, like, pounding down on a 10-year-old kid. And we got banned from the convention, and the next year we went back. They stuck security on us and tried to throw us off the property, and it just got out of hand. And because of that, it became a very popular episode and definitely brought upon this cult following to the show and legitimately got popular in that that style of convention. We were banned from Anime North, from Fan Expo, but then got to travel a little bit and got to go to, we got to go to the Penny Arcade Expo in Boston. We got to go to Gen Con in Indianapolis. And the style of the show really lends itself well to the fandemonium aspects of Comic-Con and the geek culture. However, in the latter seasons, we also found that it works really well with just complete fucking freak shows. And that could be like the Adult Entertainment Expo, where it's just porn stars as far as the eye can see, and no one takes anything seriously, and we could do anything we want, and we're never getting thrown out of that convention. Or in particular, there is an episode online called Testy Festy. It is a show. It is a festival in Montana, in Missoula, Montana, about half hour outside of it, that takes place at a truck stop where one weekend of the year, legit, 5,000 bikers show up at this truck stop, and the specialty of the truck stop is deep fried bull testicles, and they have a festival around it called the Testicle Festival, in which they have competitions like the over 40 wet t-shirt contest and, of course, the big balls competition. And that is exactly how it sounds. Whip them out, and who's ever got the biggest ones wins. It's now, the lowest of low humanity. It's like lowest common denominator. And there got to a point at that convention where we were there wearing suits, and we legitimately, our ties started to be pulled and started actually getting a little bit afraid for our equipment and our safety.
I just love the idea of you getting on an airplane and explaining where you are leaving a country for another country to go cover the Testicle Festival.
Yeah, that's what happened. I mean, that was a really cool run we had in the summer of 2010 or 2011, I think, where we were on the road for 14 days straight and did 8 conventions in 14 days and spit out 8 shows, which included VidCon, Gen Con, the Testicle Festival, like the Shoe Convention in Vegas, and a couple others in Vegas that were just absolutely ridiculous.
Now, also, I mean, typically when you'll shoot something, Jay, I mean, you'll pretty much know right afterwards if you got something great or something not so great. In this event, it's like, you might have a great
bit or whatever, and really it's like the two of you go off, you shoot your own stuff. So I guess tell us a bit about that process. Then you have to sit down and kind of look at, because you guys go off in essentially two separate directions and then just come back at the end of the show with what you've got.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, initially we would shoot we would shoot about 6 hours of tape for an episode when we first started, and we got that down to, well, Wei, you would know, you were one of our shooter pretty much half the time for the last two episodes. We could bang out an episode in about 4 hours, and Matt and I would stray off and probably roll about an hour of tape each and then cut it down to a 24-minute show. The show became very formatted in the last couple seasons, and the UFC Expo is a very good example of that, where you have Matt doing an observation bit, I will do a game show bit, at the end we'll probably have a combined bit. That and didn't have it, but I knew I was going to do that Bruce Buffer impersonation bit there. And getting Bruce Buffer at the end of that bit was like the best. It made the show, and Bruce actually retweeted the episode once he saw it, which was pretty cool. But we got to the point where Matt and I just knew what we needed to get an episode across. And even though, yes, I was the producer of the show, Matt is just such a talented person when he hits the convention floor. I never, ever flinched and worried about what he was coming back with. He always brought great stuff to the table, and never did I learn that more than when he left the show for four episodes. And the show pretty much fell apart if it wasn't the two of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wei, you were there for those episodes when we traveled with the other co-host, and it was just a complete mess. It was really, really not to the other co-host's fault. It was just that the dynamic didn't work properly, and it's just being able to play off each other really well. So much so that, I mean, Matt and I have gone on after this show to do a show called Splat-A-Lot, which is on YTV and even had a run on Nickelodeon, and they hired us based on our host dynamic together.
Are you ever concerned, you know, for your potential future jobs if, I don't know, if you feel like any of your conventioners' work would affect that?
100%. I was at one time, and then Splat-A-Lot came a-knocking, and all of a sudden it didn't matter. And I've always presented the example of Bob Saget in the 90s, where on one hand he was a really, really dirty comedian, but then he goes on television, and all of a sudden he is, Mr. Family Man on Full House. And my career's kind of been separated because, you know, yeah, I'm the guy on Live Audio Wrestling who's, you know, quick with the trigger finger now, and when I don't like callers, I let them know. But along with that, I'm like, on Sunday mornings, I'm the more happy-go-lucky guy on Sunday morning trivia and conventioneers. I'm kind of pervy, and then I'm doing a kid show where I'm kind of wholesome. And if I walk into if there's any kids that are like between the ages of 9 and 12, they know who I am, but only know me from Splat-A-Lot. So it's very different in regards to how things are broken down and segmented.
Covering both of these shows, the UFC Fan Expo and then Raw, any big discerning differences between wrestling and MMA fans? Because they come across very different in these two episodes, I find.
I think it was wrestling fans seem to jump in front of the camera more. And we also, I mean, we go for the absolute stereotypes when we're doing these shows, right? Like, the first thing that you see is Matt talking to a guy that hasn't bathed in months, from what it looks like on the episode. And we purposely went after him and after Andrew and, you know, guys like Ken from Scarborough. What? We noticed that was Ken from Scarborough, right? Cutting the promo.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Ken will come up later.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So in regards to the differences between the two, I think that the wrestling fans at Raw seem more like a Comic-Con community, and I think there's more crossover there, whereas the UFC fans seem more like a sports community. And also, I believe all of them drove their lowered Civics in from Woodbridge to be there.
See, I feel that wrestling fans deep down, even the ones that represent the stereotype, they kind of are in on the joke. I think they understand. Whereas MMA fans, I think they are not in on the joke that others see them.
Well,
see them as.
Because I think that I don't necessarily know if, it's, you know what, it's kind of the fun loving fan for wrestling fans. Whereas there is a lot of, I mean, Matt's played Spot the Douche in that second episode because there was just tons of Affliction t-shirts. And literally, John, you and I went to Atlantic City, and oh my God, I wish I had the cameras out when we went to Atlantic City, because Spot the Douche there was like on steroids because everyone was on them as well.
Yeah, that was still to me my favorite MMA event I've ever attended, because
me and Jay had like terrible seats from the UFC where there was a pillar in front of us. So we went to sit in the just general area, and the conversations that went on around us was like, that alone was worth the trip for me. It overshadowed anything that happened in the octagon that night.
The guy right behind us who thought he was an expert and just kept giving out wrong facts to all of his friends, but his friends had no knowledge base whatsoever, so everything he said was absolute gold to them.
There was a comment he made about how he could watch kids with Down syndrome fighting in a cage, and I was in tears laughing at this guy so much. Like, it was just unbelievable. As well, in the Raw episode, this was the first introduction to our current Law operator, Braden Harrington, a young Braden Harrington minus a beard.
Yeah, it was actually the second time I met Braden. There are other episodes with Braden Harrington on them. Fan Expo 2008, if you find that, there's Braden appears on there wanting to be the Ultimate Conventioneers fan, and Matt sends him around trying to pick up girls. And then he showed up again on this episode. So, yeah, Braden, giant goofball. But had the sense to, when he met us at a bar, came up and said hello again and had gotten himself into radio and TV. Braden's been a big fan of the Conventioneers since, I guess, he was maybe 16 or 15, 16, and followed along with the show and kept in touch. And he turned out to be relatively qualified, but hopefully he's not listening.
So what prompted you and Matt to get back together again and start up Con Crashers?
Well, really the fans. One of the most common questions we get is, hey, are you going to do more episodes? Or when we're out, when I get recognized, it's not for Splat-A-Lot. There is actually quite a bit for Live Audio Wrestling as well, but it's for Conventioneers. I mean, the show just has this strange fan base that finds the show, and then I've heard people just continually click through the YouTube page and watch it and watch it. Plus, we also had the opportunity to put this show, a censored version of it, on Rogers Cable Television up here in Toronto, which got it some good exposure, and people found it on Byte as well. And we're recognized for it so much, and people, it's always, hey, oh, I love this show, it was so funny. And then I say, well, thank you, but it's over. And they're like, why is it over? I want more. And people are writing myself and Matt asking if we're going to do more. So we thought, hey, if we can, we will. We'll just do it outside of Byte Television, because both of us have parted ways with that company now. And we saw crowdfunding really, really pick up in regards to the whole Veronica Mars thing, where they raised just tons of money to put a movie for Veronica Mars in place. And Zach Braff raised over $2 million to do a follow-up movie, not a sequel, but a follow-up movie to Garden State. And we thought, well, we really only need like one one-hundredth of that to do. Like, we're trying to raise $20,000 to do six episodes. We don't just want to do one. We want to do six, and we want to actually pay people that are working on the show as well. So we figured, hey, let's give it a try, and if it works, it works. If we can find those people and they want us to do more, we'll do it. I don't know if we're going to make it, though.
Well, tell us what the process has been like. I mean, is it? I mean, crowdfunding is something that, I mean, so many projects are popping up right now. What has your experience been thus far into the campaign?
Well, initially it was relatively positive. I mean, we planned it so we could launch the campaign 2 days before Anime North. Then go make an appearance, an unsolicited appearance at Anime North, just showing up, giving out flyers, trying to find some of our old fans and let them know what we're up to in case we can't get in touch with them on Facebook and Twitter. We pushed it out as much as possible on Facebook and Twitter. We made a video. We have incentives on there as well. And we're trying to drive it out to our existing fan base and let people know about it. We've also planned it in regards to the fact, and you guys might have touched on it already, Matt and I will be appearing, as well as you guys, at the Niagara Falls Comic Con coming up this weekend, June 8th and 9th in Niagara Falls. And then I think we're also presenting later this month at the Canadian Sci-Fi Awards. Matt and I are going to be presenters there too, trying to stay within, you know, the geek community and get people to raise money. And the thing is, people can tell you how much they like the show and really want it to come back, but it's a different story when you're actually asking people to pay out and donate their hard-earned money. And
I think a lot of the culture now of consuming things on the internet is everything is expected for free on YouTube. And this is something the music industry went through as well, where, you know, you're not paying for music. You're just finding a YouTube clip and ripping it off YouTube and you know, getting your music that way. And I think a lot of people want the show for free. But unfortunately, we can't do that anymore because we don't have a parent company to support the show. So if it's going to go through, we need fan support to do it.
Well, where can people go to donate, and what are some of the perks?
It's concrashers.tv.com is the website. We had to get a .com. We wanted a .com. Some of the perks are, you know, anything for like $5 if you donate, you will tweet out your name and say thanks, and then there's the scale goes up with buttons, T-shirts, autograph photos, anything that we can basically make and send out to you in the mail. Then you get into kind of the cool stuff happens the higher up you go, where there's DVD copies of all 6 episodes. You can come out and be an intern for us for a day, which will probably involve appearing on an episode and somehow being tortured on some episode, which is one of the perks. And you can actually buy your way into co-hosting the show, for I believe that perk is $1,000. You can come on, you'll co-host an entire episode with us, and we'll find a convention that works for you as well, most likely somewhere in the GTA, because I don't think we're going to have the budget to travel. And one that I find is kind of cool, a few months ago, Matt and I were approached by a father of a son who was having his bar mitzvah, who wanted us to go host the bar mitzvah. And we turned it down because we were like, oh, we don't really want to do that at this point in our careers. But now with this fundraising thing, we actually threw that out there as an option. For $2,500, Matt and I will show up at a party, whatever it is. It could be a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, birthday, anniversary. We'll host a wedding for you if you want to. If you are that big fans of the show, we will do that on up. We'll show up with T-shirts and swag and give it all out and spend the whole night there and do stupid things. And maybe even bring the cameras out if it's a big enough event. So you can hire us to do that. And then there's some corporate sponsorship as well. In case you own a company, yeah, you can buy your way into putting your logo all over the show and doing product placement as well.
And there's also like a percentage of this that could indirectly make its way into Wei Ting's wallet.
Absolutely. It's funny. I don't know if you guys have talked about it, because obviously I haven't heard that part of the show yet. But Wei Ting was the editor on the UFC Fan Expo, and he worked very closely with me on these shows as an editor and a shooter on a lot of them as well. So, yes, this could support Wei Ting. And you know what? I know fans of this show love Wei Ting and hate my guts. So let's support Wei, guys.
You can give me $10. I'll do it for $10.
You'll do it for $10?
Yeah.
Oh, so if everyone that's listening right now donates $10, we will give $10 only to Wei, and then the rest of it will go towards producing the show, and maybe we'll throw him some work as well.
Well, concrashers.tv.com is where you can go donate your $10 or $10,000, whatever you feel comfortable with. And we thought the only way to properly end off this interview, Jay, is by having our own trivia segment with you to see what your recall is from some of these shows. We have 3 Raw-themed questions from 2008, and conversely, Wei has also written up 3 UFC Fan Expo questions, if you are ready for these.
Oh my goodness, I haven't watched the Raw episode all that recently. The Fan Expo one I have, so we'll see how it goes. I'm ready. Shoot. Okay.
Well, these are tough, okay? Two of them are show-specific, one of them kind of overarching, and we start off. This episode of Raw took place in early May of 2008. Do you have any idea what the main event of that night's Raw was?
I didn't go to the show. I didn't go to the show. I was filming outside until the doors had opened and people went inside, and then I had to take the equipment back to the studio. So I didn't even go to the show. I have no recollection. I'll tell you a funny story, though. When the doors opened, there was basically nobody outside, and I was on Lakeshore, Lakeshore and Bay, which is where the ACC standing on the eye is like kind of jogging across the street, and I'm like, whoa, dude, you look a lot like Dave Bautista. And he laughed at me and he went inside. I was like, fuck, that was Dave Bautista. Why didn't I turn on the cameras? I didn't actually go and see the show.
Well, you missed Triple H and Mr. Kennedy against the entire ECW roster.
Oh, great. Really miss that? Did I really miss it, though?
That is true.
Right.
Okay, so question number 2. is that a very, very popular cameo within the show was a man that every Law listener simply knows as Ken from Scarborough,
yes,
who cuts a very passionate promo on this edition of the Conventioneers. We always call him Ken from Scarborough. Are you aware of what Ken's last name is?
Oh, man, I should totally know this. I think I, if you asked me to recite his email address, I'm sure I would know his email address. It's Campbell, isn't it?
Do you know who I am?
It is Ken Campbell. Very, very impressive.
Kenny
and this
Campbell,
is one,
yes.
This is one of the few Raws I think he did attend.
Well, I'm guessing he attended and sold the seat next to him.
That is Ken Campbell style.
Yes, it is.
And my final one on the Raw side of things is, of course, Braden Harrington appearing on this show in May of 2008. How old was young Braden Harrington at the time of this filming?
Okay, hold on. So in May of 2008, now Braden turned 21 in 2012. So I'm guessing that was 4 years ago. So he's 17.
You're welcome.
He was 17.
Yeah, Matt.
Wow. I'm impressed that you knew how old he was. So
yeah,
there you go.
We went to his birthday. We tried to get him loaded, but the dude is so big, we really couldn't. We had a hard time.
Yeah, it always depresses me when he tells me how young he is, and then thus I feel old. I don't even know how you must feel.
This is how I live with you guys. You guys are 6 years younger than me. Matt's 8 years younger than me. I'm an old man. That's why we keep mouth around, isn't it?
All right, Jason. I got some questions from the UFC episode, and they're quite specific. So even though you've seen the episodes, I don't know how much that helps you. My first question: you're very much known for your suit and ties. What color was your tie in this episode?
Oh, my tie was black. Matt's tie was red.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, Jesus.
Holy fuck.
Really pays attention.
I noticed my wardrobe. Yeah, because that's... And I had on my Glee-looking style suit. It was the only episode of Cons I wore it for.
The wrestling episode, blue and red theme ties for Raw and SmackDown.
That's right.
Which Jay brings up in the episode.
Yeah, that's right.
My next question. The fan from Nova Scotia, the cheap fan.
Yes.
How much were his UFC tickets?
Weren't they like... I was shocked at this. I think they were like $25 or something like that. And I made fun of him for the fact that where is he sitting at the hotel next door? Was it 25?
You're supposed to be my friend!
No, it was 50.
Oh, it was 50. Okay.
Which is about, it's just as worthless as a $25 ticket.
Yeah, you're sitting up in the 500 level, because that was before UFC 129, right? And that was in the Rogers Center, formerly the Sky Dome, which is a giant place.
I don't think they even sold $25 tickets, to be honest.
Probably like 40, not.
50 would have been the cheapest.
Yep.
My last question, the bombshell girl, the one with the dark hair, she actually named her breasts. What were the names she gave her breasts?
Wawa.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
Right?
This guy's got an unbelievable memory
Wawa.
Here.
Wawa.
Yeah. I like how you pretty much nailed every single answer except for
the
actual wrestling-themed edition of Raw, of what happened on that very show. But nonetheless, a passing score, Mr. Egg.
Woo! Nice.
We're very impressed. So once again, go over to concrashers.tv.com. You can follow Mr. Agnew at AgnewJason on Twitter. And thanks, Jay, for taking us behind the scenes here of these two editions of the Conventioneers. And just watch, this Indiegogo campaign is about to skyrocket. I can just feel it right now.
It's funny. You guys laugh, but the fact of the matter is when you're dealing with something like this, you need really passionate fans to actually give up their hard-earned dollars. And people who are downloading your podcast every week are actually super loyal and go on the message boards. And especially for this show that you guys do, Review Away, you're asking people, a lot of them, to watch like a 3-hour pay-per-view and then listen to your review on it and comment on it. So there's quite a bit of dedication into listening to this show. So they're actually the loyal fans. So I figured, hey, if you're willing to do a review of this show, these are the fans, the loyal Law fans, that may actually donate to the Indiegogo. Despite hating me on the Law, which a lot of
people. Well, I was going to say, you're getting way too nice here, and the fans, they might start to like you, so I think we've got to end this right now.
I'm pulling a Taz, aren't I?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, there you go, everyone. Go to concrashestv.com right now and donate to support Wei Ting. Feed him.
That's right. Feed Wei.
All right. So once again, you can go to concrashestv.com. You can
You can donate to their Indiegogo fund as they try to raise $20,000 to shoot 6 new episodes of Con Crashers TV. So you can head on over there. And Mr. Ting, why don't you start us off with the feedback?
We go to Wes from Florida, who says...
You think it's Wes Briscoe?
Could be. Could be. Awkward, charming, assholish, funny. Words I would use to describe both men, although assholish was mostly Matt. As far as the show, I watched nearly all of their other stuff beforehand and loved it. The UFC show was great as well, but the wrestling one seemed flat, though it seemed like the oldest of the bunch, so that might have been why. And part 2 of the WWE one pissed me off. Overall, I'd give the shows a total 8 out of 10.
All right. We then go to Vince from Vaughn. This was the first time I've seen the Conventioneers. The program is pretty much as I had expected it. Just another one of those comedic interview-style television programs. Really no different than the smart-ass comments I make to my friends when I go to a convention or trade show. Except I'm not on television. Overall, a very few funny moments, a few depressing moments. That part in the Raw episode where the guy in the Devil Rays hat is walking around trying to get a date depressed the shit out of me. God, I hope that part was staged. Of the two featured episodes here, the UFC Fan Expo was much funnier. The crowd was more responsive to the cameras than in the Raw episode. I wish luck to Jason and Matt and everybody else involved in rebooting the program.
Anthony from New Jersey. So Agnew lost his virginity to a panda. Somehow I'm not surprised. This is my first time watching the Conventioneers, and I found it hilarious. Both guys play the smartass well and create some great awkward moments. It seemed as though Matt was able to pressure that dude in the Jays hat into coming out of his shell. I'm wondering if that girl ever showed up, though. Agnew seemed desperate to get laid in the UFC episode, but the moments it created were pretty hilarious. Looking forward to more episodes. Best of luck to both guys.
And finally, Brian from New York City. I've seen a few episodes of the Conventioneers on YouTube, but never the UFC and WWE-themed episodes. Watching it with fresh eyes, I enjoyed both of them. The people in the UFC one seem more enthusiastic compared to the WWE one. Seeing Jason Agnew in rare form was pretty awesome. Matt and Jay's work was fantastic. Both made me laugh and kept me extremely entertained. Good choice to review something that is not a wrestling event. I give Matt and Jay's performances a 10 out of 10. Keep up with the excellent reviews, John and Way. My question to Agnew is, what was the inspiration to create the convention? Which we did ask Jay during the interview. So thank you everyone to your feedback. And before we wrap things up, Wei Ting is going to now pick next week's review.
Oh my god.
As we get back to our wrestling roots.
Alright.
And next week, Wei, Review Away, is going to be on the road. We are going to be broadcasting live to tape from Winnipeg, Manitoba, inside of our hotel. Which we are going to have lots of opportunity to record.
Right, okay, so then let's do a DDP yoga.
I don't know how well that'll work.
Why not?
I'd like to actually try it before I give a full comprehensive
review. We'll try it
for
a whole week.
You can't get the gist of it in a week.
Oh, you can't?
We will do DDP yoga at one point.
Okay, all right. Well, let's do... I'm just going to pick up a random thing from the thread, okay?
You pick whatever you'd like, Wei.
All right. Okay. How about... How about,
God, Wade just doesn't want to review any of this.
No, I do. All right. All right. I found one. Okay. wait a second. All right. All right. Let me see.
I'm at the edge of my seat in anticipation.
Let me see here. All right. Okay. Wait. All right. I got one.
All right. Drum roll.
Well, we are approaching the summer.
We are. It's
so,
June.
Maybe we should review... Summer Slam.
Oh, wow. It's a great time.
Are you surprised?
No, not at all. What year of Summer Slam would you like to review?
By request, let's look at Summer Slam featuring a Southern Dandy, a hair versus hair match, mixed tag match, Lion's Den match, no DQ handicap match for the tag titles, a five-star ladder match, and Austin versus Undertaker. SummerSlam 1998.
Okay, the highway to hell, as it was. All right, so next week we will take a look at SummerSlam 1998, per Way's request. And we will be taking feedback, of course, so you can check that one out. And we will report on this from Winnipeg next week, where we will be for UFC 161 week, leading into the event that Saturday night. It's going to be a very busy weekend. A very busy week in Winnipeg. But yeah, we will find some time to chat SummerSlam 98. And before we get out of here, I want to let everybody know once again that we have switched over our iTunes feed. So if you are subscribed to our old feed, you're going to need to resubscribe. And we've gotten a lot of good response from people who have the download speeds have all been rectified. People are getting our shows in lightning fashion. So it seems like it's been a win-win way.
Well, great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, so we are going to get on out of here. We need some music to finish us off.
By the way, one more day to enter our contest.
That is right. We are going to be announcing the winner on Friday's edition of Review and Impact, the Say This for Way contest. We've gotten some great submissions. You can go see it up on the lawradio.proboards.com site. It is an announcement right at the top. Get your submission in by Thursday night. And we will be picking the winner on Friday. So you will have the chance to win a DVD, a T-shirt, some stickers, big prize pack coming your way.
And a self-portrait drawn by John Pollock.
I don't know about that one. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, God. Are you okay? What the fuck happened there?
I'm choking. Choking to death.
You're choking at the prospect of having to draw yourself?
No. But let's go out with one other sample of the Say This for Way contest.
Oh, okay.
So we last week played one entry. Let's go out with another one here. This one might be one of the favorites heading into Friday's big announcement. So we will chat with you next week. In the meantime, go to liveaudiowrestling.com, subscribe to Live Audio Wrestling on iTunes, and you can follow us at Law Radio at Way0937, and we'll be chatting with you later this week.
Nice.